borders. But if we're trusting God without borders, we won't live in fear. We sing it so easily. And yet, when it comes to the bit, when we face hardship in our life, we're like, where are you? And then we're, take me deeper than the... You know what I mean? We sing the song, and then when he does it, we actually ask him, take me there, Lord, so that my faith becomes stronger. So that I can walk on the waters. You know, Jesus didn't walk on a sunny day. He walked in the storm. He walked in the middle of a storm, and he called Peter out in the middle of a storm. Take me deeper. Be careful what you sing. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Come on. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Do you think he's trying to make a point? Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Who believes that we are called to do greater things?
Hey.
Who's actioning the greater things?
Hey.
Who's scared to try?
Yes.
Take me deeper. very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Why would we do it? If he's leaving, why would we do greater things? I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So when we ask Jesus to do things, it's because the Father gets the glory. The whole point of us going to Jesus is that the Father gets to hear our cry, so that he can answer through the Spirit. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Hello, do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you, though?
Yeah.
Do we really believe that what we ask for we will receive? If you love me and keep my commandments, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He was speaking to the disciples and he was saying, there's someone coming that is the advocate, that is the representation of everything that I am and the Father is. All that I am is in him. All the Father is in him. And he's coming not just to be with you, but he's coming to live in you. He's coming to be in you. So earlier in the chapter, God had already breathed on the disciples. He breathed the Holy Spirit. And now he was telling them that their Holy Spirit was coming in a way that was even more than that, more intimate than that, more personal than that. Said he's coming and he's going to be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. Why? Because he lives in us by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. I will come to you, and before long the world will not see me anymore, but it will, but you will see me. Because I live in you, you also will live. And on that day you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The Father is in Jesus. Jesus is in us and we are in him. The Bible says that we're hidden in him. We're hidden. We're hidden from darkness. Darkness can only see what we allow him to see. It's only when we peep out from being under the covering of the Holy Spirit, it's only when we peep out from being under the covering of Jesus that the devil gets to see us. So when we close the doors on our lives and we're surrounded by the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit is like manifestation of all that we are, the devil can't see us. Darkness has no power over us. The one who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. God woke me up a few days ago and he said, to have a new vision or a fresh vision, something has to change. And we hear all over the world at the moment, 2020 vision, 2020 vision. And I'm like, yeah, but Lord, everybody's speaking on 2020 vision. He said, I want you to speak on vision, 2020 vision. I'm like, no. So I'm like, what needs to change? And he said, our lens. The lens that we look through, the lens that we perceive through must change. Something has to change. We have many lenses in the world today. We have the lens of media, education, nurture, actions and words that we had growing up, culture, which is our identity. You know your nation. Oh, I'm British. I'm Irish British. I'm not quite sure what I am, but I'm somewhere in between. If I'm here, I say I'm Irish, and if I'm there, I say I'm British. Very confusing. But that's what culture does to you. It calls you to rise up and be part of a tribe. It calls you to take an identity that you might not even want to take, that you might not even be proud of, but it calls you. People hear your accent, they're like, oh, you're Irish. And there's a judgment made about you right there and then. Depending on what lens, faith, religion. People of faith and religion are expected to behave in a certain way or believe certain things. Depending on what lens you look through creates a different perspective, which in turn has consequences. Whatever lens you choose to look through life will have the consequences of the working out of that lens. So, take the lens of media. What is media full of at the moment?
Rubbish.
The virus. The virus. What else is it full of at the moment? The head of this nation, outside of God. Meghan, Harry, the royal family, the head of the nation. The very head is being attacked. The very head of our government is being attacked right now. Our government is upside down. The media, coronavirus. Is it Corona something 19? They even give it a name, you know. Let's give it a name, which gives it a power, which gives it an authority. And I'm like, I'm done with you, bug. You ain't doing it. It's not happening. What happens when people look at the media? What happens when they read the newspapers? How many are dead today? That's literally what people are saying. How many have died today? Are there any near me?
Yeah, true.
Are there any near me? Why? If there's none near me, what does that mean? Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about those in the next town or the next nation or the world, because as long as it doesn't come near me, then I'm safe. And I don't have to worry. As long as I've got the toilet roll, I'll be fine. But what does it cause in the nation? It causes fear. It causes panic buying. Our economy is crashing around us. If they close the schools, how are mothers and people going to get to work? The childcare centres to close down. It brings isolation, lack of trust. Do I hug you or do I not? Maybe you've got the bug. Oh, stay away from me. Oh my gosh, people. We have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
King of glory, fill this place. I just want to be with you. Because when I'm the King of glory, nothing can come near me. And even if it does, even if I go into troubled waters, his presence is there.
Yeah.
It says, when you walk through the valley of the shadow, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear. Don't partner with fear. Hopelessness. People are hopeless right now. They don't know what to do or where to turn. But you know what? In those areas, there's a revival happening. Because people of God are rising up and they're beginning to take a stand. And they're beginning to say, we're not having this any longer. We're recognizing this for what it is. And we're standing up and we're declaring this thing to be shut down in the name of Jesus. And people are coming to the revelation of Jesus Christ. And there's revival breaking out all over the world in the pockets where this virus is. So praise Jesus. The Bible says that everything that the enemy uses for our harm will be turned to good. That no weapon formed against you will prosper. Nothing.
Yeah.
It's causing despair. People are depressed. Going to the doctor for antibiotics and anti-depression tablets. And that we have the hope of glory living inside of us. Hope of glory. So how do we move forward on this? What are the lenses that we need to look through today? We have two lenses. We have the lens of the Word. We have the lens of the Spirit. But I want to remind you that the disciples didn't have the New Testament. They had the law. They didn't have the New Testament. And actually, they didn't have a copy of it around there in their pockets, you know. They had to go to the synagogue and have it read out, and they talked about it with their families. But they didn't have what we have. We have this amazing gift. Why do we have it? Because the closer we come to the end of the age, the more we're going to need to know it. Because there are the judgments of God that are coming. People are talking about, oh, God is good, He is good. But the reality is, there's a book of Revelation, and the book of Daniel, and those other books that speak about the end of the age, that we are the answer to. Why? Because we have the Word. We don't just have the written Word, but we have the Word, Jesus, inside of us through the person of the Holy Spirit. So we have the Word, and we have the Spirit.
Yeah.
So you have the twofold Word, the written Word, and Jesus the Word. And we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, which reveals all truth, all wisdom, all the solutions. Who did the disciples go to for solutions? The Holy Spirit. Who did they expect to come when they were praying for people? The Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Ghost. He was the lens that they did everything in life through. He led them each day. They went where He told them to go. They spoke to whom He'd sent them to speak to. And they began to transform their culture through the lens, the new lens that they looked through. I want to see our culture transformed. I want to see this nation brought back to God. I don't want to see a little revival in Wales or a little revival in Ireland. I want to see this nation turn back to God. I want to see hope rise within people. I want to see people encounter the Jesus that I know. Oh my gosh. If they could just experience Him. So many people struggle with the person of the Holy Spirit. I was brought up Baptist. You don't mention the Holy Spirit.
Holy Ghost.
Ain't no healing today. Ain't no tongues. That's up the devil.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ain't no trances or visions of the devil. So whenever you start having those things, it causes a bit of trouble. But I thank the Lord for His patience with me and His love for me, that He brought people around me that helped me grow in my understanding of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I met Andy, I came home from Bible college at a Christmas, an Easter, whatever.
Christmas.
Must have been Christmas before we were going out. And we sat in the car outside my house, and he started telling me if he'd been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I'm like, not quite sure how I feel about that. Now, I was at Bible college, but you don't talk about the Holy Spirit there either. We train you up to go and evangelize and win the world, but we don't talk to you about the person that you need to know and how to do it. And he said to me, yeah, I started speaking in tongues, and I'm like, oh, what? I said to him, I need to pray for you. I need to pray for deliverance. Well, deliverance comes through the Holy Spirit. Hello. So he says, let me pray for you. And I'm like, get off. I'm going into the house to have a cup of tea, and I'm going to bed. Thank you very much. So that Sunday, he picked me up, and he said, I'm going to take you down to this little place in Derry. I love Derry, Stoke City. And we went down there, and we went to this little upper room where there were a gathering of people. And the minister, he turned around and he said, "Oh, last week we preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost." And I'm like, I got off lightly. And he says, "But I really feel the Lord wants me to like speak on it again tonight." And I'm like, oh, flip. And do you know, my inner man, my self man, my soul man, my soul man, over my nose, my soul man began to fear. Literally, I could feel my flesh, man, getting scared. Because I knew I was saved. I'm like, why do I need this? These people are like, and I'm like, nutcases. And he was like, and as he spoke, there was this revelation of truth. This beautiful revelation of truth. And I began to feel this trembling inside of my soul. And he said at the end, "If you'd like to receive more of the Holy Spirit, just come forward." I'm like, I was like, no, 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 yes. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit that night. I'd been saved for a few years at that time. But I got filled with the Holy Spirit and it transformed my life. It transformed my perspective of Jesus. It transformed my perspective of the Father. And I began a journey that day of not just knowing Him, but walking with Him. Walking with Him. Jesus said, "I can't be everywhere all of the time. This thing is going to be a pandemic." That's about Jesus, by the way, not the coronavirus. "It's going to be a pandemic. It's going to go global."
Yeah, come on.
"It's going to go global, and I need you. I need you. I'm up for it. I'm up for it. Is there a harvest coming? Yes, there is. Do we need to be ready? Yes, we do. How do we get ready? We get to know Him, the Spirit of God, the Holy, beautiful Spirit. As we call Him, the shocking Holy Ghost. The shocking Holy Ghost. Turn with me to the book of Joel. Are you okay there? No? Yeah? You alive? Joel chapter 1, verse 5. Joel chapter 1, verse 5. "Wake up! Wake up," said the Lord. "Wake up, wail. Because of the new wine, for it has been snatched from your lips. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, you drinkers of wine. Wail, because the new wine has been snatched from your lips. You have been invaded. Nation has invaded my land, a mighty army without number. It has teeth of a lion and fangs of a lioness. It has laid waste my vines and ruined my fig trees. It has stripped off their bark and thrown it away, leaving the branches white. Grain offerings," verse 9, "grain offerings and drink offerings are cut off from the house of the Lord." If that's not poverty, I don't know what is. "The priests are in mourning, those who minister before the Lord. The fields are ruined, the ground is dried up, the grain is destroyed, the new wine is dried up, and the olive oil fails. Despair, you farmers. Wail, you vine growers. Grieve for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is destroyed." And I feel that the Lord has sent us today, look around you and wake up. Look around you and wake up. You have been invaded. You have been invaded by a spirit of deception. You have been invaded by a spirit of fear. You have been invaded by spirits of lenses of culture and media and things that have taken you away from my heart, that have taken you away from walking with me, that have taken you away from being my people and my tribe. In chapter 2, it says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion." I love how God always gives us a way out. He said, "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill." And I feel all over the world right now, the church is rising up and it's saying, "Waken up, blow the trumpet. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Let us pray. Let us beseech the Lord. Let us hear what He has to say in these days." And God is calling us back into that place of intimacy with Him. Not just on our own, but corporately together to pray and to beseech Him. and to actually get down to real stuff. It says, make a noise, sound the alarm. Verse 11, the Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number. Isn't that awesome? The army of the Lord is coming against the army of darkness. The army of the Lord is coming. Well, hallelujah, Sean, praise Jesus. Good word. His forces are beyond number.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, come on.
His forces are beyond number.
Hallelujah.
You know who the forces are? Us.
Yay.
They're beyond number. We are not little. We are magnificent. Mighty is the army that obeys his command. How do we become mighty? We obey the commands of the Lord. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? Who can endure it? And then he says, our response. What is our response to this call? What is our response to this waking up and come and hear me? Our response is verse 12. Even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart to me. Rend your heart to me. For he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. And who knows, he may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing. We need a blessing in our nation. We need a global blessing right now. And how do we get a global blessing? How do we overcome the fear of what's coming against us? The lenses that the world is looking through right now, we choose to look through different lenses. We choose to look through the lens of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And he says to us right now, rend your heart, return to me. There's an urgency in this season, in the Lord, I believe. God's response. God's response is new grain, new seed, new wine, new oil. New grain. I'm trying to remember, I didn't write down the verse. Next, verse 19. The Lord replied to them, when they rend their hearts, I am sending you grain, new wine, and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. At the moment, Christianity and people that really love Jesus are being scorned, they're being persecuted, they're being beaten, they're being tortured for their lives. It hasn't come to us yet, and yet we whinge whenever there's a virus comes, or when our washing machine breaks down, or the car's not working, we're like, oh, things are so hard. No, they're not. They're not. They're just things. They're just things. But the Lord says, as you rend your heart to me, I'm sending you new grain. Why do we need grain? We need grain to make bread. Why do we need bread to feed us? This is a physical provision. But also, we don't just get seed for us. We get seed to give away to others. So he never gives it just for us. He always gives us so that we can feed ourselves and feed others around us. So what you receive, what I receive from the Word and from the Spirit I share with you today, what you receive from God is your seed so that you can share it with others around you. So that the seed gets spread, scattered like a farmer. He's the farmer, we're the bucket that like shakes the seed out. But you got to have the seed. And how we get the seed is to rend our hearts and fall in love again with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm sending you new wine. It's been a heavy season, yeah? It's been a long winter. But there's joy coming.
Yeah.
There's the new oil, the new wine of God that's coming. The joy, joy, joy of the Lord. I got the joy, joy, joy. Yeah, the joy of the Lord. And the olive oil for healing. The oil of God coming for healing. And I believe that even, especially in these days, with all the fear that's going on with this coronavirus, it is time, people, it is time to get out your oil. Where do we get the oil from? The Holy Ghost. It's the only place. It says that he's the giver of the oil. He's the giver of wine. We can go out into our community with joy, with seed to share, and with healing in our hands. That's who we are. That's who you are. We can look fear in the face and say, we're coming. We're coming because today you're shut down. The next one is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Verse 28. And yeah, it keeps going. It says there, you know, the threshing floors will be filled. I'll repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. You will have plenty to eat until you're full, so that you will praise the Lord and you will know that there is no other like me.
Yeah.
We're expecting abundance, not poverty. We're expecting blessing. And I don't think our abundance is necessarily going to come through man. I believe that there's going to be supernatural abundance for the people of God. Like Jesus provided the manna and the quail, I believe that in these days he's going to provide for us again. I really do. We are grafted into Israel. We are grafted into Christ. When the judgments came against Israel, the people of God were not affected. Their cattle didn't die. They didn't get sick. And then when the spirit of death came, they put the blood on the posts. And in a moment or two, we're going to break bread together. And we're going to declare, this is our equivalent. This is our equivalent of the blood being put on the posts. And we're going to declare that blood over our lives, over the lives of our families, over our city, over our nation, and over the nations of the world today. We're going to scatter the seed that we have over the world and call an end to this thing today. And we're going to call an end to it until it listens, until it dies.
Yeah.
The verse 28, afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And usually before revivals come, there's always a testing of the people of God. There's always a testing so that, like it said in our worship, so that our faith becomes stronger. So that we know that he's the God of deliverance, that he's the God of healing, that he's the God of supernatural provision. He's the God of salvation. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. I'm longing for the day my son prophesied. Calling it in. And it's coming, people. It's in the word. It's in the word. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. I get both, so I'm middle-aged. Even on my servants, men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. Oh, come on. Who wants it?
Yeah, come on.
I want it. Prophecy, dreams, visions, signs in heaven and earth. Mass salvations. It's coming, people. Chapter 3 says, prepare for war. Prepare for war. Prepare your heart. Don't be offended. Don't be offended when the judgments of God come. Don't be offended. Is the coronavirus a judgment of God? I believe it's like a before its time thing. I think it's out of time. I don't think it's of God. Therefore, we have the right to stand against it. Prepare for war. It says multitudes, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. If there's multitudes in the valley of decision, who has the answer? Who is the answer?
We do.
He is the answer, but who has the answer? We do. We are the answer. God will come to deal with the nations and the judgments of the nations. But he says to us, rouse the warriors. Prepare for war. Be ready for the multitudes going through decision. What are the multitudes going through decision? It is the harvest at the end of the age. I believe that we are coming to the end of the age. We've been in like the end days since Pentecost. But we're coming to the end of the end of the age. You can see it all over the globe. At the end of that book, it speaks about the blessings to the people of God. People, if we don't have the anointing of the Holy Ghost, if we don't have a relationship, if we don't take time to know him, to be filled with him, to have wisdom in these days, we will never be ready for what is coming. We will operate through the lenses of the world and not through the lenses of God. We need to be ready. But when we do have that relationship, when we do walk in relationship with the Holy Ghost, when we do have that anointing, King David said to me, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Do not cast me from your presence. And I'm like, Lord, don't cast me from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Because your Spirit is the answer to this season and this age for people's lives. We need to walk as one, as the Lord enables us to see. We want to see what he's doing. We have a different lens, one that releases hope, one that releases eternal salvation, wisdom, truth, joy, new wine, oil, provision. I think that sounds good in this season of Corona. We have all of those things. If we don't know the Spirit of God called holy, we will never carry the anointing. And I just really felt in this message that God was saying, Sharon, tell them they need me. Tell them they need me. Tell them this is a season where my Holy Spirit wants to come and friendship with them and empower them and gather them. We have the lens that the world needs, people. We have the lenses. The Holy Spirit is our lens. The Word of God is our lens. I was listening to a word from Sharon Stone concerning the coronavirus. And she said, God is going to bring this outbreak to an outpouring.
No.
Come on. An outbreak to an outpouring. Contagious to a catalyst. It's going to birth something. Courage into revival. And I really believe that these days that we're standing on an incredible, pivotal place of power under the anointing of God, that we carry such authority. We are the ecclesia, the government of God on earth. We are powerful. So I'd like you to pass around the bread. And keep it in your hand. We're going to take our bread together. This thing is a two-pronged attack over the earth. It's the fear of contagious disease and the fear of lack, both been made manifest in these days. A fear of contagious disease and a fear of lack. It has been brought to disrupt our economy, to distract us from revival and take us back into survival. And God wants to bring us out of survival into revival. He wants you to go internal and take care of ourselves. But I'm calling you today to press in for global awakening. It's time to reach out.
Come on, Randy. Come on, baby. She couldn't do.
This plague is before its time. It is illegal. It has no right. And we have authority to stop it. All over the world this morning, they're doing the same thing as I'm doing today. We're part of a global tribe that are standing up today over the next 24 hours and doing communion together, breaking bread together, and calling on the Holy Spirit and rising up in the anointing that we have to see this thing out.
I saw that, Susie. She nearly ate her bread.
Luke 21:9 says, don't panic or give in to fear, for these things are bound to happen. And this is still not the end.
Yeah.
So we're going to pray agreement with the word. So Father, we stand today and we say that we will not give in to fear.
Yeah.
We will not give in to fear. But we stand, Lord, in faith, believing, and standing in the anointing that you've given to us today, Lord. We call in your word, your spirit, into the situation in Jesus' name. Could you hand out the... in fact, just come up and take a cup. Come up and take a cup rather than me. Maybe somebody could get one for... No. Keep your bread. If you've eaten it, get another bit. We're to pray not just for our nation, but for the nations of the world. In a minute, this is a time when the church and the state are actually coming together and beginning to work together. So I want you to stand if you can. If not, you can sit, but standing would be better. And I want to make a decree, and I want you to repeat after me this morning. Spirit of fear.
Spirit of fear.
You are illegal.
You are illegal.
Virus.
Virus.
You have to go.
You have to go.
We say no today.
We say no today.
Instead, we receive power.
Instead, we receive power.
And a sound mind.
And a sound mind.
Spirit of fear.
Spirit of fear.
You are illegal.
You are illegal.
Virus.
Virus.
You have to go.
You have to go.
We say no today.
We say no today.
Instead, we receive power.
Instead, we receive power.
And a sound mind.
And a sound mind.
Father, we ask you to come in our nation and the nations and fill the atmosphere. We command fear to leave and love to replace it. We declare divine wisdom on leaders of nations. And we call healing wings over nations and command this death angel to pass over, to be halted, and to leave now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We want to take this bread and remember Jesus, the healer of our wounds. And by his wounds, we are healed. And we declare healing over those already infected, Lord, as we take of your body. We declare healing over those already infected and protection over those who are fearful in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And even as those before had your strategy for the blood on their doorposts, for the angel of death to pass over, we take this for ourselves, Lord, for our families, our nation, and the nations. And we hold up the blood on behalf of other nations, that the death angel would pass over now in the name of Jesus, that we would be healed.
Yes.
Matthew 16:18 says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Will not prevail against it. Take out some scriptures, people, like these words, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Write it out. Keep it in your bag. Stick it on your fridge. Stick it above your bed. Recite it. Speak it out. Declare the word of the Lord. God, today, we call a containment through the authority given to us of this virus. We say, virus, you are contained. In Jesus' name, we call you, virus, to go. You have no power. We call, God, an outpouring of healing over our nation and the nations of the world. We say, Lord, let it be a pandemic of revival, not a pandemic of the enemy. We break the power of deception. We break the power of fear. And we release, God, the spirit of love, the spirit of expectation, the spirit of hope. And we declare today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is above all, that your name Jesus is above all. And King of glory, we will sing hallelujah until you return. And we will dance in your presence until you return. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
If there's anyone here today that doesn't know the Lord, I just want you to repeat this prayer after me. Let's all say it together. Father.
Father.
I acknowledge Jesus that you are the Lord of Lords.
I acknowledge Jesus that you are the Lord of Lords.
That you came for the sole purpose of dying for me.
That you came with the sole purpose of dying for me.
That I would know the Father.
That I would know the Father.
Forgive me for my sins.
Forgive me for my sins.
Forgive me for my rebellion.
Forgive me for my rebellion.
I surrender my life to you now.
I surrender my life to you now.
I ask your precious Holy Spirit.
I ask your precious Holy Spirit
to come and fill me,
and
strengthen me,
to live for you,
in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If that's you today, please come and see me after. I'd love to pray with you. Just take the truth and the power of who you are today. Continue to declare your authority. You don't have to speak to this thing. We just have to say, the gates of hell will not prevail against the kingdom of God. That the blood of Jesus is enough. It is fully, truly enough. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed.
Okay.
Finally, we've got some words here.
Right, while you were having your sermon, Andre and I were having a quiet time with God. And even though it's quite difficult, We've got some words, haven't we, Andre? So, do you want to show what you got, what you did?
hold that one around, can you still read it? Right?
The tree of strength and of healing and of peace.
And what sort of tree was it?
Oak tree.
Come on.
That's brilliant. So that's Andre's picture from his quiet time. Well done. And I got this. So it's kind of interesting because I was writing it down and then Sharon started talking about the things that I had on my paper. So I didn't, wasn't because what she was saying, I got it, okay? And mine was like spring flowers. Okay. And it said, springtime is coming. Winter is going. Arise and shine. It is time to wake up and grab hold of your towel. We're going swimming. Grab your towel, it's time to go swimming, to get totally soaked. It's time to stop mourning the past. It's time to dive into the new. It's time to move on, stop waiting and mourning. Splash around, get tight time to get totally drenched. It is time. Time has come to move now. It's time to celebrate. This new day. It is time, no time to waste. Wake up, move, basically leave morning behind. Wake up, it's time to leave the past behind. It's time to move on now. So stop mourning about the past, think about spring, take hold, it's going to be great.
So that's been our title, our offerings before the Lord this morning.